Welcome to Grace Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Thank you for joining us on Sunday evening, September the 22nd, 2013.
As we sing tonight, we'll focus a little bit on the Lord's table and what He's done for us as we remember Him tonight. I'm going to ask you to stand as we begin. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the blood that makes me white as snow.
Sing that again. Okay, tonight we have kind of a special opportunity to talk with Ed and Carmen, and actually, as it turns out, their national partner from India is here and is going to share a short testimony and everything, but we wanted them to, Ed, to kind of give us a thumbnail sketch of what's been happening and what's going on and everything, because you spent, how many years did you all spend in China?
15.
15 in China, and so the Lord just kind of turned them topsy-turvy and moved them in another direction. Topsy-turvy, right. Sort of like it's a tomato image there. Go ahead.
Thanks, Pastor. Yes, right now, as I speak, we've been cleared financially, medically, everything. Right now, our passports are in the Indian Embassy in Atlanta, Georgia, waiting for the officials to make a final determination on our visa. And it's not a slam dunk, but we know that the Lord will give us favor. And I do have the privilege. When Carmen and I were making the decision to move from China to India, we were in Calcutta at the time, and we were trying to seek God's direction. And then Nilov, and he wasn't married at the time. Nilov's only been married about 9 months. But Nilov, Kole, it wasn't, after we met him, heard his heart and his passion for his people of Calcutta and Bengal, we knew at that time that God wanted us there. And especially knowing that he was going to be one of our national partners. And working alongside him, it was just a thrill for both Carmen and I to meet him and to interact and engage on what God is doing in India. So at this time, Nilov, if you can come on up and share what we've asked you and within the time limits. Okay? Thanks.
Yeah, I think you'd said 40 minutes, right? All right, yeah. I'll just share a little bit, and as I share it, my desire would be that it would be like a testimony to all of you, and just to know that God has been working and he's just been faithful to the church in India. Every day the Lord is adding to the number in the church in India, and so we praise him for that. And I think it was very nice because every time I share about what we are doing, every time we share stories from the mission field, it's always very nice because these are just fulfillments of promises that God has given us. You know, and I was just going through Zephaniah, just read it a little bit. If you could just follow with me, and then I'll share a couple of stories of what we are doing and things that we are doing in KCF. It is Zephaniah chapter 3. And I'll read for you verses 16 and 17. Zephaniah chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. This is what the Lord says. On that day they will say to Jerusalem, "Do not fear, O Zion. Do not let your hands hang limp. The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing." And I think verse 17 is just amazing because it just is so true with our church, KCF. And many a times we think that this verse just speaks to us in such powerful ways, because at that point of time when this verse was written, I think it was the Israelites going away from God, and God is just saying them, you know what, on that day, I will be with you. The Lord is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love and rejoice over you with singing. And there are a few things that I always think that God has just been faithful and God has just been doing great among the people there. The church where Sangeeta and I, we serve, is called the Kolkata Christian Fellowship. It's in Calcutta, but the name of Calcutta has been officially changed to Kolkata. So it's no longer Calcutta beginning with a C, but it's Kolkata beginning with a K. And that is why we call it KCF and not CCF. Okay, please do not confuse it with KFC. It is KCF. We will complete 7 years this October, and it started with a group of 5 people, but now we have around 160 regular worshipers that come and worship in that church. We've always been very conscious to reaching out to the middle and upper middle class people, for the simple reason that we felt if we do that, the church would be self-supportive, independent, and at the same time, we also recognized that a lot of work had been happening among the poorest of the poor, and the middle, upper middle class were almost like ignored. So when the church started 7 years back with 5 people, and out of the 5, 4 were actually part of my senior pastor's family, that was Pastor Ashok, his wife, and his 2 children, then there was just 1 lady who was there, and then gradually the church grew. to 160. Now, we've been meeting at different places, but now the Lord has given us. We've been meeting in a school hall. Now, we don't have our own place. We've moved from one place to the other. Every time we've outgrown the place, God has provided with another place. And now we meet in a school hall. And God has just shown favor. And even through the owners of the school, they've just been so favorable towards us. The church in itself has been supporting more than 20 national missionaries now. And we also have a child sponsorship program running that the members of our church are helping us to run. We sponsor more than 100 children now by way of their education, medical health, English knowledge, giving basic computer education to them. And the church has always had a threefold ministry, and I think my wife had also mentioned it to the ladies in the morning, that is evangelism, discipleship, and community development. And I think in every aspect of our of the ministry of the church, in every aspect, God has just been teaching us, and God has just been encouraging us. And I just want to say and bring these words as words of encouragement from the church in India, to all of you here, to our extended family here. In fact, my wife and I, we traveled halfway across the globe to meet the rest of our family here who share the same love and grace that God has just given us. The verse that I shared, you know, one thing that really encourages me is that God says, I am with you. And I think in every aspect of our ministry at KCA, we see that God has always been with us. In 2008, I had the privilege of meeting some of the believers in a state called Orissa, where we have some of our missionaries working. And in 2008, it was a time when a lot of persecution took place to the church in Orissa, and a lot of believers were killed, burnt alive. And I had gone there with a small group from church just to encourage the believers there in a small town in Orissa. And as I went there, I spent the whole day talking to the believers there, and I knew that I did not qualify to encourage them there. Because as I heard stories of them in the midst of persecution, just knowing that they love God, their commitment to God, I came back encouraged more than I could actually encourage them. I spent the whole day talking to them, and one by one they got up. There were around 15 or 16 of them in a small room. It was stuffy, it was hot. We were cramped in there, and one by one they stood up narrating stories of all that they'd gone through in less than a week's time. One of them stood up saying that his wife and he saw their own daughter, who was a teenage daughter, being gang raped in front of their own eyes. One of them said that they saw their wives being burnt alive in front of their eyes. One of them said that, you know what, it has been so tough. We were not well. We couldn't even walk, but we had to run. Our villages were burnt. Our houses were burnt because of our faith. And what they said afterwards really shook me up, because they said to save themselves, they ran to the nearby forest. And as they ran to the forest, it was at night. It was raining. It was thundering. It was a heavy rain at that night. And they were there in the forest, and they were saying, We were trying to protect our infants because it was just raining so heavy. We didn't want them to fall sick. Our infants were crying. And right inside the forest, they could hear lions and tigers roaring. And as they looked on the other side, they could see men who were hunting them with arms and equipments, with torches, trying to find them and trying to kill them because of their faith. And as I just stood there listening to them, I was just saying a prayer, saying that, God, why did you even bring me here? Because I cannot encourage them after hearing all these things. I don't know what to say. And as our partner there just asked me, he said, Pastor, do you want to share something? And as I stood, my partner, who was also my translator, he just asked a question very casually to them, because even he was so burdened. And he just stood up and he said, I want to ask you, brothers and sisters, a question. And they were listening to him. And he said, we have nothing to offer you. We can't give you money. We can't give you protection. We have nothing to offer you. Why don't you just deny Christ and have a better life? And as I stood there with my translator, as he asked them this question, without wasting any time, one of the believers just stood up and said, when it was his turn, he didn't step back. Now it's our turn to die for him. We will not step back. When it was his turn to die for us, he didn't step back. Now it's our turn to die for him. We will not step back. And he said, pastors, when God is for us, who can be against us? And as I stood there in that small group with those small, simple villagers who were not even educated, I knew that those believers knew the reality of God. And as I read Zephaniah, I was like, God, I know what you mean when he said that you are with us. Though we go through trials, though we go through problems, though we go through struggles, we just know that you're with us. And we just want to praise God that He's a God whose presence is there in the church in India. He's a God that every day, we have like 33 million gods and goddesses in India, by the way. And every day, here are those worshippers of other gods and goddesses who have a fresh realization of who the real God is and come to Him. I come from a Hindu background myself, and God has been working, and the pastor who actually invested a lot in my family, when he meets me nowadays, he says, Nilav, you and your family were Hindus. We didn't even know, forget about you coming to the Lord. We didn't even know that a Hindu boy would actually in 10 years or 15 years time become a servant of this living God. And so we just thank God that His presence is with us. And I think what has been also very amazing is that, yes, there are struggles at the church. Yes, we have problems that we face. And in fact, I think Ed also has a brochure. I've actually brought a brochure just to give you a briefing of the ministry that we do. And I think Ed has placed it somewhere. Yeah? And so you'll have a chance to pick one. And we have also have some prayer requests there. Would really appreciate if you can uphold us in your prayer. Would really love that. And I think one of the things that has always challenged us, because we know that God has been on our side. You know, there have been believers who've been insulted, outright insulted. But then, you know, years and years of their faithfulness really pays. And now in the same village, they get respect. You know, I'm always reminded of the story of this man called Haripad. And Hari came to the Lord from a Hindu background. And as he came to the Lord, when he heard the gospel and the gospel set him free, Hari ran to his family because he wanted his family to know that as well. And as Hari ran to his family, he went and met his brother. He met his father, his mother, his wife, his children. And he shared this gospel that had set him free, this newfound faith he shared with them. In 2 months' time of his sharing and praying with his family came to know the Lord. But his villagers were not at all happy with him. One day when they were having fellowship in his house, his villagers come and they beat up Hari badly. He was almost at the verge of dying. His ears began to bleed. He was rushed to the hospital. And all the villagers, including the village leaders, told him, Hari, you know what? You need to get back to your own gods and goddesses. The village gods and goddesses. This Jesus is a foreign god, just forget him. But Hari said, you know what? If you tasted what I have tasted, you would follow Christ as well. The villagers left, but Hari slowly, God cured him, and he gained strength. He came back to his home. The fellowship again started. In 2 months' time, his father was bitten by a poisonous snake in the village, and his father passed away. And when his father passed away, the news of this traveled around the village, and all the villagers gathered around Hari and says, we know why it happened to you, because you've forgotten your gods and goddesses. The gods that you grew up worshipping as a child, you've forgotten them, you've discarded them, you've thrown the idols, you worship this different god, and that is the reason this happened to you. And Hari had the same answer to give them. He said, if you guys taste what I have tasted, you will never deny that God. A couple of months later, his small child, who was his youngest son, they have a small pond in front of their house, fell into the pond and drowned. Hari was not at home at that point of time. He's a farmer. He was in his land, trying to do some work. And as he came back home, he heard that his son had died. The body was floating on the pond. He took the body out of the water. He ran to the village leaders because he had to cremate and bury his son's body somewhere. And the villagers said, forget it. You don't listen to us. We don't care what's happened to your son. Let your God take care of it. And that day, Hari, in front of his own house, had to dig his son's grave. That grave is still there. Every morning reminds Hari of the most precious thing that he lost. And the villagers just didn't stand by him to support him. When I visited him, his son's small grave was still there. And he has made a cross and things like that. But God has just helped him, you know. And again, the villagers came and said, we know why that happened to you, Hari. Because you've forgotten the gods and goddesses. And Hari had the same answer. Taste what I've tasted. You will never deny him. The villagers were upset. He's been beaten up a couple of times more. Almost lost his life again. But you know what Hari did? Hari was just faithful. Because he used to tell us that I know that God is with me. And my God would not just stay quiet always. I know my God is with me. Now when you go and meet Hari, the same man. He's not become rich, he's not become greater, he's the same man, but 11 villages around him know him as the man of God. They call him as Hari, the man of God. If they have a problem, They come from the village, come and meet Hari and say, Hari, we have this big problem. Can you pray to your God? You are close to your God. You are a man of God. Your God listens to your prayer. Can you please pray for us to your God? And Hari prays for them. They have a dispute. They have the problem. They don't go to the wise people and the educated and learned people in the villages. They will travel villages, come to Hari's doorstep and say, Hari, we've heard you are a man of God. Can you please help us out in this dispute? Can you please pray to your God that he would give us wisdom? And as I read Zephaniah, this is what Zephaniah, that God says to Zephaniah, you know, I will lift you up and I will make sure that people praise you in the land where they put you to shame. And as I stand before you, I stand just to share this testimony as a way of encouragement, because we know that God has been working in the church in India. Yes, there are trials. Yes, there are struggles. But we know that God has been working. His presence is just so powerful in our life. His presence is powerful in the churches in India. And we know that he's a God who's just there, never to leave us nor forsake us. I was having a talk with Ed and Carmen last night. And there's a comment that they mention, and we've heard it so many times, this comment. Because everywhere we've shared the story of KCF, the missionaries and the believers in India, they've said us, wow. You guys know what sacrifice is. Because sometimes in the church in US, we don't face that kind of a persecution. You guys know what persecution is. But you know, when I look at the church, I know God also looks at the church, not as the church in India or the church in US. God looks at the church as a whole. And whereas in India, yes, there is a lot of cost that we pay, but the church here is a church that has a lot of commitment. And I think for the church, it's a very beautiful balance. Yes, the church is committed, and then the church that pays the cost. And I think when God looks at the church, God is definitely pleased, because this is the church that definitely that is close to his heart, a church that is commitment. And every time we come, we meet our friends from the States, or when we visit them, I mean, my wife and I, we've been all over the U.S. in this past couple of weeks. And every time we come here, we know one thing, that commitment is the priority in the churches here. And I think for God also, that becomes so important, because if the church is not committed, the church will never be able to support itself when persecutions come, when trouble comes. So I want to encourage you. I think when God looks at the church as a whole, the whole Church of Christ in the world, I think God is pretty pleased, because yes, there is commitment, there is cost, and I think it's pretty well balanced. And we support each other as we all strive to be more and more like Christ, and as we all strive to do our part in bringing the gospel to people who desperately are in need of the truth that sets us free. So just wanted to share this as way of testimony of what we've been doing, of the honor and privilege that we've had to partner with some of the local believers in India, work with them. There are brochures that you can collect, and it will give you a little bit more of what we do in KCF with the different aspects of ministry that we have. But thank you once again for giving me this opportunity. Thank you, Pastor, for giving this opportunity to come and share. Continue to pray for us. We would appreciate that. Thank you once again. Yeah.
Okay. The thought occurred to me that there's probably one or two things that we don't know, and it might be neat to know some of those things. Would you just, you know, briefly now, give us how did you come to know the Lord, and what kind of training and things has the Lord brought into your life, and what is it that you see God doing with you in the days to come? Okay?
Okay, yeah, sure. Yeah, I had shared my testimony with some of the men in the morning. I come from a Hindu background. And for Bengalis, which I'm a Bengali from Bengal, there's one thing good, but I think that is also the biggest challenge. Bengalis are very tolerant people. You can go to the streets of Bengal and Calcutta and give a New Testament or a Bible to people and say, this is the word of Jesus, and they would very happily and respectfully accept it. But I think that tolerance is also the biggest challenge, because it takes a lot of time to Bengalis to come to the Lord. For me and my family, it took us 7 years to come to the Lord. And I think that tolerance sometimes is a stumbling block, because we are like, oh yes, every God is the same. You come with Christ, we will worship Christ. You come with someone else, we'll worship that God or goddess as well. And I think that also becomes a challenge. And for me and my family, when a pastor came, and like, we have no clue how God brought that pastor in our life. Through different people networking, this person referred to there, that person referred, and then finally the pastor came to our house. We have no clue how that happened, but God was in complete control, and he did a pretty good job with that. When this pastor got introduced to our family, He came and shared, and we were like very happy because we were like, okay, fine, he's coming and sharing to us about Christ, and we respect Christ, we've always respected him. So he came and he would pray every week. And we thought, okay, fine, he's a really nice pastor. He was an Indian guy who also came to the Lord from a Hindu background. And as the pastor comes to know the Lord, God begins to burden him to reach out to other Hindus. And that's how he came to our family. It took him 7 years. You know, I always thank God for his patience. In fact, with Ed and Carmen also, I've been telling them, there's just one mission strategy in Bengal, that is patience. You just have to be patient in Bengal. Imagine if he said, okay, fine, 1 year I've invested in this family. They have not come to commitment. Let me go to the other 15 million people in Calcutta. Okay, there are others who want to know the Lord. Let me go to them. But he didn't give up on us. God had burdened him. And he was faithful in serving God in my family. And so after 7 years, in 1997, my father got baptized. 2002, my sister and I had got baptized. My mom had got baptized before. So God had this working in my entire family, that the entire clan came to the Lord, the entire family came to know the Lord. And I think what had really challenged me was I used to follow this Hindu philosophy called karma. Karma is good works, just works. So the karma philosophy says if you do good, good will come back to you. But if you do bad, bad will come back to you. So I, as an individual, tried my best that I have to always do good karma so that good will come back to me. And somehow the gods would be happy with me and my next birth, I would be better off than what I am now. But I think one of the verses that really challenged me was Isaiah 64. Where God says that all your righteous acts are like filthy rags in front of my holiness. And I was like, what? I mean, this is just totally different. I thought if I do good, good will come back to me. But God, that day had just turned my views upside down because I was like, this is totally different from what I thought. And it was that pastor that God really spoke to him. And he shared from that verse saying that, you know what, it is not just acts that you do. Because for Bengalis, it's difficult for us to know that we are sinners. We don't want to accept we are sinners because we have our own justification. We've not killed anybody. We don't steal. We don't rob people. We don't take drugs. How can you say that we are sinners? And I think that was my view as well. But God, through that pastor, really spoke to me at that point of time, saying that, you know what, no matter how good you try to be, in front of God's holiness, it is nothing but filthy rags. And I think that was something that really spoke to me. And it was then that I was like, I need to know how to get right with God. And that actually led me. I didn't want to join, be in full-time ministry. I wanted to do my MBA. And that's how I did my majors in business and university. But God had been putting it in my heart, and then through different pastors also, they would come and say, Nilav, you know what, maybe you should consider joining ministry. And I was like, oh, no, that's not for me. I'm happy worshiping the Lord. Maybe I'll earn a lot of money and then support missions. That would be my contribution to mission. But God was teaching me, and then he took me to Bible college. I finished my Bible college, and when I did that, I said, okay, God, I never wanted to be in ministry. Now that I'm in ministry, I don't want to go back to Bengal. Because Bengal was always considered as the graveyard of missions. And I said, what will I do there? I mean, that's graveyard of missions. William Carey was there more than 200 years ago. Nothing happened. Now what will I do? But God has his own ways, and he convinced me and sent me back to my people in Bengal. And I think studies in university, in business, and also working in the corporate sector for some time, God taught me, because now I can actually relate to them, relate to the corpus, relate to the Hindus who are educated, not just the poorest of the poor, but who are educated. I think that is how God has just been teaching me. So I know God has called me to serve in Bengal, in Calcutta, and I think that is where I will be for the rest of my life. Now Bengal is the graveyard of missions, but I know it will not always be the graveyard of missions. Bengal, I know, one day would become the testimony of God's greatness and faithfulness. It might not happen in my lifetime, but I was encouraging Ed and Carmen, saying that, you know, when we are in heaven and we hear that, oh yeah, Bengal, revival in Bengal, we would say, well, we had our own part to play in the movement in Bengal. Might have been very small, but God has been doing that. And I think one thing for KSAFE has been very encouraging also is the fellowship, because we always get a glimpse of heaven. Because yes, we reach out to the middle, upper middle class people, but then we know that everyone in Bengal needs to hear the gospel. So we have a labor who's like a daily wage worker coming to church, and we also have people like high government officials who come to church, sit at church together, side by side, and break bread and have communion together. And I think for us as pastors, like with my senior pastor also, we always feel so encouraged because we know that there is no demarcation in the church, that when we come to church, it is the same one body, one fellowship, working for the glory of God.
Wow. Is that good? You're ready to give, aren't you? We're going to take an offering. Gotcha. We're going to take an offering, and unless otherwise designated, we're going to give it to the work in India. And this is, I know they'll be around after the service to be able to chat with you and talk to you some more. Are you going to be around tomorrow? Good. You can come to my Bible class. I think I've got some people that need to hear that. Come, let's take an offering. Father, our hearts overflow as we think about all the opportunities all around the world, and we can just see the mosaic that you're putting together, working with Bengali people. We thank you, Father, for your love for us and your care. Help us to be an encouragement. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we thank the Lord for the opportunity to participate in this, His table. And you know, as I appreciate the testimony and everything that you've got people from all stratas of life sitting together, breaking bread, having the Lord's table together. And that's the way the early church was. And it's, you know, we get to glory. It's going to be people from every nation, every tribe, every kindred. They're going to all be together. We'll all be together worshiping the Lord at that time. And there's a lot of stuff that, you know, is going to be worked through and everything. And so we're thankful for those things. Well, this isn't a table of Grace Baptist Church. This is the Lord's table. And so if you're here, whether you're a member or not, is immaterial to us. The issue is, do you know the Lord as your Savior? If you know the Lord, then we encourage you to participate in this, His table. And so the scripture is very, very clear, and it talks about the bread. And you've got the bread, and you've got the cup, you've got the juice. And, of course, the bread represents who He is. He is God, very God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the cup, what He did, that He offered Himself as a sacrifice for our sins. And so as we begin tonight, we want to ask the Lord to bless the bread. And John, Parshall, will you pray for the bread, please?
In your name and worship. Lord, help us to have a spirit of acknowledging that we'll take this bread from you to the Father. Lord, we love you and thank you for the gift of that. Thank you.
For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. The Bible says that in the same manner also he took the cup. And so we want to pray particularly for the cup. Chip, will you pray for the cup, please?
Thank you.
In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim, you declare the Lord's death till he comes. It is our custom to take a benevolence offering at this time. And I encourage you to give and to give generously in that area. You know, the times in which we're living, there's just a lot of opportunities in terms of benevolence. We have people coming in almost every day, but several times a week. We have a chance to see total strangers that come in. They come in with sometimes really difficult stories. On more than one occasion, you're talking to people that, you know, you have a sense that you're sort of the last outpost to help them in one fashion or another. And so we appreciate the fact that the church gives us the opportunity to be able to invest in the lives of people this way. You know, it used to be we used to have a budget for this, and in our budget I don't remember just what the number was. Maybe it was $1,000 or it was $1,200 or something like that. And we were really kind of chintzy when it came to working with this. And, you know, you just pretty much had to come in with a lawyer's brief to, you know, we had all different kinds of things. Well, several years ago, we changed that. And what we did to change it was we said, we're not going to put it in the budget. We're going to take this offering. And every time we have a Lord's table, we're going to take an offering for other people. We're going to encourage people to give to benevolent needs. And what we have found is that the Lord gives us a lot of money to be able to invest and invest in the lives of people. And there's all kind of things that we begin to emerge. We found that there's some places over there near where the mall and all that is. There's some places where homeless people live out in the woods in some of those areas. And you probably don't even know where those areas are. There's opportunities all around us. And so we have an opportunity to do that together. So that's what we do, and that's what we do with this offering. So I encourage you to participate with us in this offering. For this offering, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Carmen, it's just good that you're volunteering to sing for us tonight.
Are we in heaven? I'm only singing in heaven. Until then, I'll just make a joyful noise.
Okay, well, just have to think about that. You mentioned to me that our brother's wife is going to be leaving tomorrow and everything, so how about you just maybe interviewing her just a little bit here?
Okay.
And then like you to pray for her, and because she's going to be taking the slow boat to India or whatever it is, Delta, I don't know. Anyway, if you'll do that, go ahead.
This is my great pal Sangeeta. She is going to be my mentor, my lifeline, and everything in India. Isn't she wonderful? But ladies, I know you got to hear her this morning. Quickly, Sangeeta has a degree. She did her undergraduate in political science, a master's in social work. She also went and got her MBA, and now she works for Compassion International in India. So she's going to be kind of like me. The men are going to be working at the church. We'll be like pastors' wives or workers together. And Sangeeta and Nilav have just made their first trip to the United States. Our company with ABW, George Collins with GAP, and Pastor Ashok, who will be our senior pastor, thought it would be good for them to come and see some of the partners here. We wanted them to be here with you so you could understand the heartbeat that we now have going to India, who we're going to be working with, and because, you know what, we're all going together, and this is your ministry as well, and you need to claim that with us because we are a team. You send us, and when we went and heard this, and we saw the ministry there, knowing that our time in China was coming to an end, we really truly believe, and we made our decision, that Grace Baptist Church would want to be invested in what was going on in India. And we're grateful that you stayed with us, and you're behind us, and we're looking forward to them. We're looking forward to being with Nilav and Sangeeta. She's heading back home tomorrow because she has to get back to her job, so she's going to be flying back by herself. And Sangeeta, do you want to say anything? I know we had a great time this morning. Pastor, are we okay? Are we doing the right thing?
Yeah.
We don't know what we're doing.
We don't know once we get there. And I'm not very sure if I'll be a mentor for her. I'm not sure if I'm qualified for that, for sure. But yes, we are looking forward to having your team there with us. And it's just been such a blessed opportunity to be here. It's been such an encouragement to be a part of this family of Christ over here. Thank you so much for having us here. It's been a real joy and pleasure to be here.
And just pray for her. Okay. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for all that you've done for us. We thank you for how our lives all around the world come together at different parts. And though we may pass through one time seeing someone, we are so grateful that one day we'll all be together in heaven. Until then, we early pray for the people around the world who are still seeking the hope that you have, Lord. Help us to just continue to bring hope no matter where we are. Tomorrow I pray that as Sangeeta flies back to Calcutta, it is a very long trip for her. She has a very long stay over in Dubai. But you know that, Lord. I just pray that you'll give her rest and peace, and that her time at the airports and going through security and luggage and all that she needs to do, Lord, that you'll just walk her through that. We pray for opportunity along the way, and as she has long layovers, Lord, that you'll just bring people that need to know the truth and that you will use her mightily, Lord. We pray for Nilav as he lets her go, as he has another week in the United States, Lord. And we thank you for the amazing ministry that you have given them, both as individuals and then as a couple married together, Lord. We thank you for their ministry. Thank you for letting us be part of that. And Lord, we look forward to what you have for all of us. We praise you and thank you. In your name we pray. Amen.
Okay. Thank you so much. I tell you, there's a lot of exciting things happening as we're moving towards our missions conference. And it's just hard to believe that we're about a month away from that, 5-6 weeks. And as kind of a warm-up to the missions conference, Harry and Jan Gebert are going to be with us. And we're going to have a Saturday meeting. We're going to take some time on Saturday morning, and we're going to talk about Islamic outreach and the kinds of things we can do in terms of influencing and talking to Islamics as we meet them in Chattanooga. So, and then he's going to be with us, and then we're going to come to the conference. We've got a lot of interesting things planned, a lot of different people coming, and I know Todd and Don Etner are going to be with us over that conference, and let me see, Mark Patton is going to be with us, who's in Hungary, been our partner with ESL, and then we've got several others and everything. My mind's a blank right now, Paul, but the Mike Fries and Ann Soulful and her husband will be with us, and Mark Sandberg. Okay, so lots of interesting things, and so we encourage you to be thinking about that and praying about that. This week, Awana, they've had some great opportunities, so we pray for the Lord to really do some special things there. Thanks for coming. Lord bless you.
Thank you for worshiping with us today. Grace Baptist Church exists to glorify God by knowing Him through His Word, loving Him through worship and obedience, and serving Him by caring for others. For more information about our ministries, please go to www.aboutgracebaptist.org. See you next time.